Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And here we go, back at it again, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNradio.com as we broadcast live from the 7th floor of the beautiful Trib Tower on the Magnificent Mile and a gorgeous sunny day in 70s in February. You cannot beat it. I am Mike Jacobson. Man to my right is Scott King. We are employed by WGN Radio. It's a pretty nice deal. And then a man to my left has joined us before, and he comes here again. That is Jimmy Grinfield, and he is from the Tribune family, I guess is probably the best way to put it. Love having Jimmy in. He was in, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
I forget exactly.
Yeah, it was somewhere right around there.
I think too, yeah.
But we love having him in his hot takes on the Blackhawks here. We'll be spewing.
Full of them.
Yeah, he is full of them.
I am full of it.
Yeah, on and off the air.
We need some kind of gimmick for Jimmy. You know how like those morning zoo shows, like the man in the box. We're gonna go like comment, Jimmy. Jimmy, what do you think?
What, man in the box?
Get back in that box. Yeah, that thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
We can work out something.
We got to put him in something or behind glass or something.
You know, I wear a crazy shirt, which really doesn't apply to podcasts, but
it could if we talk about it enough.
Okay.
But you won't believe. You guys will not believe how crazy this shirt is.
It's all about creating the visual in an audio type way, if that makes any sense.
We paint pictures for a living, just in people's ears.
We do paint the stories. Yeah. That's actually one of WGN's sayings. So there you go. We do paint the story. But in the meantime, listen, we'll provide the visuals, and then you can also follow these guys on Twitter. He is at Scott King Media. He is at JC Green X, and Jimmy, you are a great Twitter follow now that I follow you. It's good stuff each and every week. Not even Blackhawks related, and other things too. So politically and everything else. Jimmy's
lots of Cubs.
Jimmy's got ideas.
Lots on the Cubs. Wrote a book on the Cubs. He's got ideas. He does.
Very angry man.
And of course, you can read Scott's stuff on Chelsea Blogger Blog. I can get it out today. Chelsea Blogger Blog. It is on WGNradio.com. Does it a couple times a week. He's got a great one up there right now about Connor McDavid, which we will get into a little bit later on. Also had one day before that too, I believe, or the same night.
Yeah,
two
same
blogs.
Night. I just did one on the game.
Yeah, over the weekend with the Blackhawks and the Oilers. That was That was a loss, but they've been red hot. They've been red hot. 7 of their last 8. They've won 7 straight on the road, which ties the franchise best. And last night, big game for Jonathan Toews. He gets the hat trick, 5 points total, 2 assists, and they get a big win over the Minnesota Wild in Minnesota. So that is that was a nice little confidence booster there. They're about, I think they're 5 points back right now of the Wild in the Central. So, but a must win in a team that has given them some fits, the Minnesota Wild.
5 points and a hat trick for Jonathan Toews.
That's pretty good.
He hasn't just been hot. It's not just like he's been hot for like a week or two and people are happy because he started out cold. He's been happy for a month. It's been a month today. He's been hot since January 22nd. He's got 20 points in his last 12 games.
Wow.
So that's a lot of points. And Jimmy and I are actually talking before the show. People are always, you know, concerned when a guy like Toews or even Kane is cold or starts the season cold. But they have some good street cred.
He's
here
got
in
a
Chicago.
Bit of a track record that he doesn't really need to prove himself.
Right.
Anymore.
Right. I think things are going to be okay with the captain. And look, he's helping everyone else get confidence. You look at the way that first line is playing with Nick Schmaltz, 3-point night last night. Richard Panik.
Schmaltz looked really good last night.
Oh, my God. He looked great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, setting up the captain a lot. He had a nice goal. And Panik, it's more and more hilarious that the Maple Leafs let him go.
Yeah.
Well, it's a classic Bowman pickup.
He has a career year.
He's knack for finding these players who are not really succeeding elsewhere. He gets them in, and you know he slots them in with his superstars, and they turn out to be really good players.
You know what's kind of weird, and I was thinking about it the other day, that the Blackhawks and some of the guys that they bring in, exactly what you just said, Jimmy, Bowman seems to find these guys. It kind of reminds me of the Patriots because they only have a few like big stars. Like it's Tom Brady and Gronk. And then everybody else is just kind of these role guys
that probably wouldn't succeed anywhere else.
But for whatever reason, in that system and in that franchise, they do well. It seems like the Blackhawks, there's just a lot of correlation there.
It may be that there's no pressure to be the man. I mean, he's not even the 5th best player in the team. You know, other teams are expected to be a 30-goal scorer. or there's hope that you're going to be.
Yeah.
You don't need that from Panic, you know, and you've got five Hall of Famers or four Hall of Famers ahead of him. I think the pressure's off.
No kidding. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here again. Jimmy Greenfield sitting in with me and Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson. WGNradio.com is where you find all your stuff, Scott, and where you're finding this podcast right now. Yes. So if you're on this podcast right when it's done, just go ahead and click a little bit elsewhere down the Blackhawks page.
Check out the Chelsea blogger.
And also subscribe on iTunes. We're trying to get that up too and get the numbers up going for that. And so subscribe on iTunes. Check out our Facebook page.
Leave a review on iTunes too if you like it. If you don't like it, you have to be very funny in your comments.
Yeah, because we will read them because we've read them before.
At least be funny if you're going to be mean. But if you like it, please leave a review. That helps.
Like the whole, is that your real voice? I get that all the time. Or
is it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, it's this one, and I just used the other one, you know.
Professor Frink.
Yeah, that does sound like Professor Frink a little bit.
Did your voice change when you were a kid? Did you have the high 10-year-old voice?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think all boys do, really, for the most, when you grow up. I hit puberty very young.
3 years old, is that one?
I was 4 and a half, no. But I was young. I was sixth grade.
Yeah.
So, okay. And it was one of those things, too, because I'm not a very big guy at all, and I've gotten taller. But when I was really young, I was short. I was always on the bottom row of all the photos for basketball and football. Never. I was 5'3", 140 heading into high school.
So you're short with that voice for a long
time. Yeah, so a lot of people, it was really weird.
So you're like Froggy and a Little Rascals.
But now, now I'm 6 foot. I actually grew in college, too. But I went
from 6 feet tall?
Yeah, 6 feet.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you're just as tall.
Hey, I'm 6 feet. No. You're a little jealous of me too.
I've let that go a long time ago because I've known you for longer.
So it is kind of weird.
Your height has gotten to your voice, basically.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah, but
you've grown into your voice.
But I'm so scrawny. I'm 6 foot 155, but. Anyway, back to getting, subscribing on iTunes. Go ahead and do that,
please.
With the Blackhawks Jersey Podcast. That's where the train was on the track heading that way, and then we got off the track.
That's what
a
we do,
bit.
Though. That's why people listen.
And then WGN, we are on Facebook, but we want you to check our Facebook page out, which is Blackhawks Crazy. So Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. A few more things about last night, the Minnesota Wild, and a big win for the Blackhawks. They come back home tomorrow. They're going to be taking on the Coyotes tomorrow, being Thursday night if you're consuming this today, which is Wednesday, February 22nd. Coach Q gets his 400th career win behind the bench for the Blackhawks.
One team.
Crazy.
It's impressive.
It's his ninth season only. You know, that sounds like a lot of seasons, especially the way coaches are getting moved around now in the NHL, but that's to get that many wins in nine seasons is not a lot.
Well, he's just been a head coach for so long.
Yeah.
Just in the league in general.
Right. He's not 60 yet, is he? He could be coaching for 10 more years.
I'm going to hit the Google machine here while you guys chat. I'm going to
crank out that machine. So he's the second most in franchise history for the Hawks. Billy Ray.
Billy Ray had
516.
Good call, Jimmy. Yeah. Or 58. He's only 58. Man, he does look older than that, though. No offense, Q.
He's got a shot at catching Bowman.
You think so?
I mean, he's got he's 400 behind, right?
Depends how long he wants to do it now, because he's earned enough money where if he wanted to retire when he's 62,
you're talking about for all-time wins.
All-time.
All-time.
Yeah. I mean, he's at 800, 900?
I forgot.
He's about 400 behind Scotty, I think. So he puts 10 years of 40-50 wins, which is not a given, but, you know, they're on their way to doing pretty good.
If he stays here, if they keep getting guys in with skill and talent the way they have,
Because Q, now this is a quick Google machine, so I hope this is correct, but Scotty Bowman, 1,244 wins. That's unbelievable. And Joe Quenneville, 783 wins.
So he's a little further behind, so.
But still.
11 seasons.
I guess.
But you never know.
Some guys, they can't get that coaching. They can't get it out. They can't get it out of them.
And he doesn't seem to be someone who has ever talked about, oh, I got to hang him up. You know, he's not threatening to leave. He never left coaching. He went straight from one job to another. I think he had a little assistant coaching in between one of these head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
So he could put 10 more years and then get there.
It's possible.
It's kind of like the Larry Brown of – could he be the Larry Brown of hockey, college – good old Cal. Well, he was NBA too. Larry Brown. He's like 75 and he's coaching down in Texas somewhere recently. Oh, I can't remember. Right. Yeah, he can't let him go. I mean, he did the pros too, obviously, with the Sixers and the Pistons and all that good stuff. But that would be impressive if somehow he was able to pull that off. But
it's down the road. We'll see.
I don't
want to
think
about it here
that.
First.
But you could see him leaving when, you know, when the boys leave, when Kane and Taves maybe.
True.
Whoever's somehow. That last guy on a team, whether it's Kane, Taves, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he would bow out and ride into the sunset.
But he has really just carved himself a niche in the hearts of just Chicago sports fans in general. You know, I mean, it goes along with the pop. You know, obviously the three Stanley Cup wins helps, but he's just got his own personality. You know, everybody talks about the mustache and the groggy voice. You know, the Kaner and Taser, and,
oh, yeah.
You know, Shazzy, and you know, he's got his own little niche now. Now it's not Ditka crazy, but everybody knows who Coach Q is.
But that kind of died down a little. I mean, he's Chicago's coach, I think.
Would you consider him to be Chicago's coach at this point? He has to be, right?
Honestly, I don't.
Nobody likes John Fox.
No, I mean, I'd go with Madden in terms of personality because Q is still fairly quiet. You know,
he's. Which, I mean,
it's
yes.
a good fair. Yeah, labs. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that. It's a good point.
That's true.
You know, he.
This is why it's good to have Jimmy, and he brings us.
But then,
me off
but
the
then
ledge.
You go. Then you go though. Baseball has a bigger following. That's one championship compared to three. It is. It's a good debate. It's a
yeah,
good debate.
Yeah. But he's the thought of him not being the Hawks coach is terrifying.
Yeah,
look at what the Canadiens and Bruins just did. The Wild just replaced their coach. Was it last year that Yao came in?
Yeah.
You know the Blues are a mess. You know the Hawks have been so now in Q has got the most tenure of any NHL coach.
Yes, that's true. Also,
Julian that's true. Yeah.
So it you know how yeah. great is that?
Yeah,
after?
They're just playing musical chairs because now Bruce Boudreau with the Wild, and then Yao Mike Yeo was supposed to take over for Hitchcock with the Blues after the year because Hitchcock was going to retire at the end of the year. They end up firing him early, so now Yao is head coach of the Blues. It's just all
but how crazy is the Bruins Montreal thing because
crazy.
They're enemies
with Claude
they
Giroux.
Hate,
yeah,
and the Canadiens were in first place.
That's true.
They
had first
tough
place.
10 games,
yeah.
and they got rid of them.
There wasn't a lot of talk about that, in my opinion. Like, there had to be more going on.
Drew, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, something must have been going on. Now he's got his second stint with the Canadiens. It's just very strange.
Would have been perfect, though, if the Bruins went and they hired the Canadiens coach to come over there and
oh my God.
Do a classic
swap.
That'd
be so awesome.
The classic trade. That would have gotten the attention that the NHL is always looking for. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, remember when they originally hired Coach Q? That was a little bit of a controversy. You know, with Denny and kind of forcing him off to the side.
Yeah,
a lot of people forget about
the franchise storied players. And,
yeah.
And he was helping develop the players.
Very gutsy move.
The Hawks were starting to look good with him as coach, you know, not quite getting to where they needed to be, but they were starting to look good.
Yeah, 400 wins and 3 Stanley Cup, you know, later. And now Denny gets to have that nice role as an ambassador. I think it all worked out for everybody.
But it's
he seems like a happy guy.
I don't think head coaching was really Savard's bailiwick. You know,
no, I don't think
it wasn't like he went off and he went coaching for anybody else afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they realized that they needed to make a move. It was, what, 3 games into the season?
So it was very.
5 games?
Yeah.
It was right around there. Actually, yeah.
I mean, it was
I looked
early,
that up for a story.
Early.
I think it might have been three or around three. Yeah.
Yeah, it was early, early, early. So. But yeah, it's as you mentioned earlier, when you know, kind of getting back to on the ice and what happened last night and just this streak, they've been really playing well, you know, 7 of their last 8, and it's when Taves goes, the Hawks go, just like you said, and that's the key. And the fact that you know, you can kind of put to bed the whole is the back still bothering him and all this stuff, because he's clearly back to these old ways and on the trajectory that we expected him to be at this point in the season.
It's funny when people kind of almost make up excuses when they think a star like that isn't playing well. I mean, he's had a few injuries, but it's funny what we pick and choose to say is lingering or bothering someone just because they're not performing. He's obviously fine. But I think this is something else Jimmy and I were talking about before the show. I think when Taves is playing well, your quote-unquote one of your best players is playing well, that gives the whole team confidence. And also you're going to get other teams playing their top guys, their real first line against the Taves line for almost all the matchups.
Yeah,
for almost all the games.
They don't know where to look, you know, at this point. That, you know, when the opposing team is looking at two lines playing as well as any line in the game, you know, how do you match up?
Yeah.
And this opens the door for the Kane line to get going too. You have those other teams' top guys against Taves, Panik, and Schmaltz. Now that takes all the pressure off Kane and Isimov and Panarin, so I expect them to get hot again too. And then you have top 6 that's really rocking. You have good goaltending. You have defenses playing a lot better.
And it's coming at the right time post All-Star break here. I mean, as a Hawks fan, there's a lot to be excited about at this point. You're slowly closing that gap with the Wild, and things are starting to kind of...
And even if they don't, I think they beat the Wild the last two times they played them. They won last night in Minnesota, and the Wild has been the best team in the West for
They've never had a problem
season.
With them in the playoffs, obviously.
Right. I mean, they're a better team, but I think...
And Boudreaux is... I know Bruce Boudreaux and the issues that he's had in the playoffs. I mean, whether it's in Washington or Anaheim, he has never been able to get it done. And he's the nicest guy in the world. But
this is his history, right?
And he's a great coach, but for whatever reason, he cannot get over that playoff hump. So,
we'll
see what happens. You got to see a little bit of Scott Darling over the weekend. You know, he ends up, you know, since the last time we talked, he's 14 wins now?
14-5-2.
14-5-2.
I mean, for your backup goalie to put up a record like that, how insane is that? It just seems like every time he's called upon in a back-to-back or Crawford needs a break, that he's going to get the job done. He's got two shutouts, too.
And that's why these what's going to happen to him next year rumors and until the March 1st deadline comes here trade-wise, you never know.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I
have no clue.
It's got to be an offer that they could not refuse.
I'm starting to feel like that there's no way that Crawford's going to be gone. But the thing is, I don't know if Darling would take a deal to stay here just because he loves Chicago and the Hawks. But he's got to want to be.
I can't imagine him turning down starter's money.
No, he's got to want to be a number one goalie. Yeah. So it's tricky.
Particularly if it was somewhere that wasn't, you know, that was somewhere close geographically. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds silly, but you know, just everything with his background and
people always every season people are looking for new goalies. So.
It's a big move for him to get out of his comfort zone when you've dealt with the things that he has dealt with off the ice in terms of addiction and things like that. To get away from your comfort zone completely.
He's on the road a lot. I think he's put a lot of time in with that.
Yeah.
That should be okay. It's more when you're playing. I think it's more when you're playing every day and you're number one guy every day. Does that change anything? Because he's gotten very comfortable just coming in when he needs to come in and looking great and doing a great job.
Back to the less pressure.
Yeah.
You know, that Jimmy was kind of talking about earlier. Right. You know, and it's a lot less pressure when you just have to come in for relief when you become the starting pitcher.
But think about how fantastic he's looked when he has.
Yeah,
so he
that's true too.
Definitely deserves a shot and definitely deserves some money to give him a shot as number one somewhere.
What a gem.
We could luck out that if there's this perception, you know, perception drives things sometimes. And if there's this perception that he is not a starter among NHL GMs, then he's not going to get the big offer and we could luck out and keep him. He'll get a nice bump, I'm sure. He's making what 800 now or 600?
It's
not making
it's
big NHL money.
It's around 800. It's
so yeah, well, it's. I mean, I feel like me and Scott, you know, and I know you've been here the second time. No, I feel like we talk about that almost every week. You know, what's going to happen?
It's just
with
interesting.
Him.
And, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
These things all season long that are not going to resolve themselves till the end of the season.
By the time we record next week, we'll find out at least if anything happens via the trade deadline with the Blackhawks. We'll see. So also since the last time we were on, the Blackhawks played the Oilers. That was the first game that they had back from their bye week, quote unquote bye week. Did not look good. The Blackhawks. They looked a little
rusty.
Yes
and no. Yes and no. At first period, look, they go on to lose 3-1. McDavid has an empty net goal in that game. First period, they could have been up 3-0. I think
they hit two posts. Yeah,
they're pushing the whole period, but they kind of start dying down.
They did look sloppy.
Then the Oilers start pushing.
End.
You're right about that.
And those first games back are usually a little bit odd.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like they forgot how to play hockey.
The Wild are about to go on theirs now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right, and yeah, that's the thing.
Well, it's just like anything else. You take, we were kind of talking about it last week too. It's like you take off a week from work at the job that you do. Whether it's, I think I use the analogy selling insurance or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's weird. It's hard to get back into your routine after you've been off for a week and doing things that you don't normally do. You know, these guys are normally so regimented. And their schedules are so set, and then here's a week off, and now they get to go do things.
Slight rhythm is off, and you never know how that translates.
Yeah,
and of
exactly.
course, and then two games subsequent, they played terrific.
But Connor McDavid, his rhythm was not off when he was in town. He is the real deal. That guy, he is something else.
You know, it's funny.
He's so fast.
Yeah, he's so fast, and his hands are as good as his speed. And I talked to a few guys. I talked to Hartman and Taves and Quinville. I asked them about McDavid. And especially Taves and Quinville lit up when you ask them about McDavid. They're so impressed with him. It's hilarious. That's on Chelsea Blogger on WGNRadio.com, blog about McDavid. And I talked to McDavid after. The main things I think that Taves and Quinville said is Taves is like, you know, it's like every 10 years you get a guy who's this good who can just come into the league in his first two seasons and be one of the best players in the league, if not the best already. And we're going to talk about that later. And Quinville said that what impresses him is his different gears. Like, he can just be like in overdrive, then he can slow it down when he has to, make a play, make a deceptive play. So those are some things those guys said. They said a lot more. I don't want to get into all of it, but
just read your blog post.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, from start to finish here.
Yeah. No, but y'all go to WGNradio.com. It's a good quick. I say it every week, but your posts are they're informative. They're quick. They're nice, easy reads. And I don't mean that you can't write. They're just, I'm saying they're good. They're easy to consume.
I can write. I just
that
can't
means
read.
You can write. They're nice, easy to read.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But then also got a clip here too. Said from Connor McDavid.
This is him responding to what Tave said.
Earlier today, Tave was talking about how impressive it is for you to just already rise to be one of the best players in the league already. Is it ever gets surreal or is it getting old hearing guys like that have accomplished so much talk about you that way?
No, it never gets old, honestly. For a guy like that to say something like that, it's always special. He's a guy that I think everyone in the league respects so much, and the way he plays, how hard he plays each and every night, the way he leads the team, and I think a guy like that, everyone respects like a crazy amount for him. So for him to say that, it means a lot.
Do you exceed your own expectations at all? The way you're playing and numbers you've already put up in the league?
No, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to play. This is how I expect out of myself. And I expect myself to produce.
You play against the Hawks. Is it a team that you pretty much have to raise your level to a playoff type level and play at your best?
For sure. Especially on a night like this, where they're in their home building, they're playing comfortable, and we have to find a way to squeak one out. And we did. They must have been practicing for 5 days straight because they were buzzing out there. I certainly didn't feel like that after coming off my 5 day break. So definitely impressive the game they put together.
There he is, Connor McDavid, and the fantastic questions from one young Scott King over the weekend.
Thank you,
young.
How dare you? Just because I have a baby at home.
Well, you're not 25 anymore.
I'll take young.
You are young. You're very young. Young. You're a kid. You're 32.
I'm a kid. 32.
Oh my god. Sure, 32 again.
Sure, you felt a little old talking to Connor McDavid.
I did.
Because you do when you're a reporter and you talk to these guys that are so young and have accomplished so much at that age. It's like, man,
it's weird. And we have respect for anyone that could be, in the big league in any sport, and especially be one of the best players already.
He's young, but he's humble, and he gets it. You know what I mean? He's just one of those guys that gets it.
He does.
I think so, too.
But you every NHL player is like that pretty much.
Yes, they're all very nice.
Best superstars to deal with.
So kind, they're well spoken.
They're great with kids, throwing them pucks and signing autographs and everything. Yeah, I agree.
They're all, spokesmen for their teams in the league.
Every now and then you get these guys that are really good. Now, I wouldn't consider them a star, but you do get your Evander Kanes, and you get these guys that are just a little bit.
Sure.
But for the most part, hockey players are pretty outstanding citizens. I know that sounds corny, but they really are. You don't really hear too many things about.
No, you don't see hockey players go off on reporters or call them out or anything.
Bar fights or I don't know.
It's more like in the locker room, they're good guys pretty much. You're going to get your general people problems.
Yeah.
People are going to be addiction and whatever that happens. But you don't have. You don't. Can I say on the podcast? and what was Sean, what was his name? John
Avery?
Avery. Yeah.
Went on to be a male model.
Did he?
I believe so. He tried to be.
And he was pretty much drummed out of the league based on his behavior. And he was just not wanted. He was persona.
Kyle Beach in Rockford. Similar.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But no, we're talking about how humble they are. I totally agree. But even a guy like McDavid, for once when I ask, or other guys ask, like, did you exceed your own expectations? Are you surprised? I just like to hear yes, because I understand that you work your whole life to be good at it, and you're already that good. But it's funny that they're always like, I think there's this thing with athletes, especially hockey players, like never question yourself and your potential. Just once, I would like to hear like, I'm one of the best players in the NHL. This is crazy. This is insane. I understand they work really hard their whole lives, but
it's like, I didn't.
Isn't it surreal? Isn't it surreal in a way?
Yeah. It would be. I mean, because these guys, every now and then, because, and again, they're so regimented, they got so many things that they have to follow their routines. But every once in a while, they got to pinch themselves and say, "Holy crap!"
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure he does too. It's just that answer. You know, I'm sure he likes how things are going right now. He wants them to stay that way.
Plus, two playing in a town like Edmonton, and I know. I mean, they're an improved team. There's no question. But I mean, they've gone through some really tough times lately. But at the same time, hockey in Edmonton is football times 50 here. So it's
you look at their history,
the amount of
Gretzky,
media attention that he's getting there. He's getting a good lesson in how to deal with stardom, and at a very young age. So
he seems to be handling it very well, especially talking with him one on one. He seems to really be handling it well.
And it's just a lot of fun to watch him play. It's so basic and that's not the hottest take in the world, but he is. He's just fun to watch. And even when he doesn't have the puck, you're constantly following him and seeing what is he doing. You know, it's just fun.
Yeah, that's what became here for Hawks fans in Chicago is you're always watching him because you know he's going to try to make a play. He's going to go where the puck is, and he's the exciting one to watch here. So McDavid's that for the Oilers.
And speaking of Kane, can we talk about his goal against the Sabres?
That was something
when he was left alone for about 8 minutes in front of the net and was just messing with the goalie until
it wasn't fair.
How do you leave him alone for that long? You know, I was out of town when we were kind of like watching the game here and there, he made the play, and people just started passing the phone around. You got to see this. You got to see this.
It was unreal.
And it was. It was like when you hear about a play before you see it, you think, oh, how good can it be? And you see it, and your jaw still dropped open.
It did for that one.
Yeah. Talking about fast and hands. Holy cow.
Yeah, you can check that out. I'm sure it's on Twitter and YouTube. It was a sick play. It was a real slick move.
I mean, that was turned into a video in about 5 seconds.
He had a lot of time and space. I think there was like a deke or two. And then what did he put in backhand?
He put it right behind his back pad.
Yeah. Even the skate, I think. It was awesome.
And I love how excited he got. You know, he went and did the board.
Yeah.
Come look at me. Maybe in Buffalo it happens. Maybe it doesn't happen if he's in Toronto
or
Carolina.
Good old hometown of Buffalo. So yeah, he's something else. He's a special player, and we knew that. We've known that for 9 years now, however long it's been.
I think he's pretty good.
You think so? You think things will turn out well for him?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm an expert.
I think so, too. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, Scott King, Jimmy Greenfield, I am Mike Jacobson. We got a little bit of time here. Yes, we do. Do get in a couple of fan questions. You can submit those on our Facebook page, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy, or on Twitter. He is at Scott King Media, and you are at Jimmy Green X?
JC Green X.
There we go. Ow, now, Brown Cow. Brian Zarek is going to get our question of the day today. And is this team capable of making a deep run with this penalty kill? Chicago tied for 26 in the league in penalty kill right now.
Despite that stat, I think they look very capable right now. I know that a strong PK is something they always have when they've made those long cup runs in the past. It's been a huge part of it, as special teams is. But I think you also look at those cup runs you had. 2015, you had Kane on a second line that was not nearly as good as the one he's on now. You also had kind of a shaky defense. You're bringing in a guy like Kimmo Timonen, which is an amazing story, but he wasn't that good in that cup run. So you always have some things that you think are like of dire importance, but you can squeak by when you have some guys like a Keith or a Taze or a Kane playing out of their mind. But it needs to be better. Overall, definitely PK.
It's been better. And keep in mind that remember those first 5-10 games of the season, they were giving up 2-3 goals a game. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that
it was even,
being
yeah,
26th
it was
in the league is based on a pretty awful first month. But since then, it's been I'm sure it's league average since then, maybe a little bit above.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. But you got to feel good just about – I mean, besides that, you got to feel good about everything else if you're a Blackhawks fan right now.
5-on-5 has been uncanny in this.
It has.
And look, they could have, you know, with that Oilers game, we could be looking at 8 straight now if they didn't drop that Oilers game and some wound up just going in a half inch where they shot it. If they wouldn't found their way in the net, we'd be looking at an 8-game winning streak for the Hawks right now.
And, you know, never know. We'll see if they can make it 8 out of 9 when they win tomorrow, when the Coyotes come to town. You ready to put a bow on it?
Put a bow on it.
Putting the bow on. Thanks again for coming in, Jimmy Grinfield.
Jimmy, anytime. You put the bow on. Put the honorary bow on.
I will do that. I'm doing it right now.
You can't. We promise visuals. You could actually see him doing it right now.
Oh, he's got very good technique.
Yeah, it's a red bow, too. I don't know where he found that. This has been over for a little while.
He always has one with him since I've known him.
Again, Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Read the Chelsea Blogger blog, including the Connor McDavid. That post is really good stuff. WGNRadio.com/ChelseaBloggers. Or you can just go to WGNRadio.com/Blackhawks. Again, for Jimmy Grinfield, thanks for coming in. Scott King, I am Mike Jacobson. We will talk to you next week.